how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to you? And I just want to start by saying this. God is not correcting anybody here by putting diseases on you or withholding food or finances from you. That's not true. We just got through a 12-message study, and we did not cover the whole thing on the Lord's Prayer. And one thing that Jesus taught is this. God the Father wants to be known as our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy... Let's say it together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. And everyone said amen. Amen, amen and amen. I'm telling you, I had another experience this week. A few weeks ago, we brought our purses and wallets and put them on the altar. And I said, how many of you, if God gives you unexpected money, you'll testify of that? You won't hold back. And you all said that you would. Well, once again this week, I got a sizable amount of money that I wasn't counting on. And I was glad to get it. I really was. Has anybody had an experience like that? You got money that you weren't counting on? Okay. We'll be putting our wallets and purses on the altar again sometime soon. One of the things that happened, Millie, if you would stand up, fellas in the sound booth, she's on the lime green. And
hello. There we go.
Let me just say this, sir. 6 years ago, my wife had cancer, and it was devastating for our family. And we never spent one moment thinking God put cancer on Millie to teach her a lesson. Because, see, that's just not true.
Yes.
But that's kind of the suggestive teaching that we hear in the church sometimes. Now, we got a message.
I'll do it from here.
Okay, you do it from there, sweetie.
Well, 6 years ago, I got a call from the doctor's office, and it said, call the doctor right away. So I called the doctor's office, and that's when she told me. Well, yesterday, I get the same phone call.
She just had a checkup.
Yeah,
another
just
checkup.
Had another checkup. Millie, we need for you to call the doctor's office right away.
Now, I'm a preacher. I'm going to help her with this.
So you think about that. Yeah. You know, you go back to that time. But I thought, you know what? I choose not to believe that. I choose not to believe that. And so this morning, I called the doctor's office. They just said, we just wanted to tell you that you're clear.
Let me say it one more time. These are the words of Jesus in the King James. Now, if you being evil, that means you being natural, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? I want everybody to feel that tonight. I want you to feel loved. I want you, because you know what? If you feel loved, you just might... Who knows what God wants to do for you in this service? Amen? Because whatever it is, we'll stop and do it. I guarantee you. How much more will your heavenly Father, Jesus, teach us how to pray like John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray? Okay, when you pray, say, Our Father. 1 John 3:1, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that he calls us his children, his sons and his daughters. And I want you to know every buddy in this room is a candidate for answered prayer here, when you leave here, when you go to sleep, when you rise up the next day. If you're a child of God, God will bless you. Does he correct people at times? Yeah, but he doesn't do that by cutting your arm off or giving you cancer. See, I'm going to tell you who gives you cancer. The thief, the devil, John chapter 10 and verse 10, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Then Jesus said, but I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And all that comes out of this pulpit and people that we let use this is that the abundant life. We want you to know that you're a candidate for the abundant life, that God loves you. God's not mad at anybody in here. If you're his child, he wants to help you and meet all your needs. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Was there anything else? Yes, I'll tell you what. My daughter, if you would please put Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 in the King James translation of the Bible up. It was up there. And this is what it says. I beseech ye, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Everybody say transformed. That means changed. Changed. Be changed by the renewing of your mind. Our mind has to be renewed with the promises of God. There are over 7,500 promises to mankind on earth at this time before heaven that God wants to give each and every one of us. Now, I'm going to share this with you. I have prayed for many people. Did everybody get healed that you prayed for? No. I've asked things from God, answered prayer, and it didn't come out the way I wanted it to. And I take medicine. I wear glasses. I've had terrible things happen in my life. The devil has tried to kill me many times. And what I've had to learn is this here. I've had to learn that God's not mad at me. And I'm going to tell you, if you can get that part out, you're just a hop, skip, and a jump from saying, God, help me. I need your help, Father. I need your help, and he'll help you, just like he helped my wife. That was a very traumatic thing that we went through 6 years ago. And for anybody that has cancer, we know what that's like. And I can tell you, if you've got cancer, you didn't get it from God, because God loves you, and he wouldn't put that on you to teach you anything. That's just not how God the Father works. He's a loving Father. He knows exactly that word evil, and you being evil in the King James, it means you being natural, you just being a person. If you know how to give good gifts, how many of you would put some terrible disease or take your kid's hand and put it over a fire to teach him a lesson? Good, because this is the wrong place for you, because we don't do that here, okay? But see, I want you to get that in your heart, because we can do the praise and worship and get ready for the word. We can do a lot of things, but I'm knocking down barriers tonight, because I have found one of the things that I've noticed in the body of Christ is people feel like God's got a chip on his shoulder against them, and that's just not the truth, you guys. That's not the truth. God loves you so much. In the Greek language, John 3:16, when it says, for God so loved the world, that is a powerful statement in the Greek. It means more than in our language. It means, and God so really, 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 really loved you, loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe on him wouldn't perish but have everlasting life. And then Jesus spoke John 3:17, which says this, and the Son of God did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. And that's what God's doing with us every day that we're here. I just want you to know that. I've prayed for people and they died. Well, what happened? I don't know. I prayed for things in my life and I never did get the answer. Well, what happened? I don't know. But you know what it never made me do? It never made me stop praying and talking to my Father in heaven that loves me more than anybody else ever did. I'll never forget the first time my daughter Casey, I was involved in a healing in her life. She had some kind of a fever. She was in that little bassinet still. She was a little bitty old thing. We was in California. And the Lord said, son, lay hands on your daughter. And I laid hands on her, and I felt that fever come through my hand and go out this other hand. This other hand was up. Now, oh, you're faking. Well, I don't know, you know. That'd be kind of a cheesy thing to do, to come up here and just tell people stories. I don't need to do that. You don't need to hear that. What you need to hear the truth is the truth. I am the way and the truth and the life, Jesus said. And I came here that you might know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And the Lord wants to make you free. And the Lord is, you know what? How many of you have a need in here? Anybody, put your hands up if you do. I want to see the audience. You know what? My family's concerned for your need, but nothing like Jesus, nothing like God the Father. He wants to help you. And what we have to do is we have to, all of the things that we were told, sometimes good people that love God might try to, you know, it comes in a lot of different ways. Oh, we're this, we're that, and God's getting your attention now. How do you feel? You know, you'd think God was Bob Dylan singing, "How does it feel to be on your own with no direction home? Like a complete un..." See, that ain't God. That's Bob Dylan. Okay? There's a difference there. How many of you understand there's a difference between God and Bob Dylan? Now, he wrote a good song there. I love that song. I really like the one that he wrote in 1980 where he got the number one song, rock song. It was, "You Gotta Serve Somebody." And he did, and the chorus said, "It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to serve somebody. We're all serving somebody. Who are you serving tonight? I trust and pray that you're serving the Lord." But we, Kelly said, "Dad, sometime preach on God's good, acceptable, and perfect will. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world." Now, you know what? God isn't telling that like an ogre trying to punch you down. He's telling you as a loving father that knows how life really is. He says, look, don't be conformed to the lost people of this world. That's not going to help you. But be transformed. Be changed. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind with the promises of God and the word of God, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. All right. Now, if you would, fellas in the sound booth, would you give me that same verse in the NLT? Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. And I know the words not to say. I'm not even going to say what letter in the alphabet they are tonight. But anyway, listen to this here. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship God. You present your whole spirit, soul, and body. We do that every morning. We make it clear to the spirit world every morning that I'm no longer asking you to bless my plans, because I found that's an inferior prayer. Father, put me in your perfect will. Amen. Oh, guys, I've learned one thing. I've learned that Romans 8:14 is true. Let me tell you something. You can be at the wrong place at the wrong time, and you can die before your time. Romans 8:14 says this, "And as many as are led by the Spirit of God," see, there's many things. You can be led by gossip. You can be led by what a doctor says. I'm only led by the doctor when he's voting in my corner. You're fine. You're perfect. Many, many times, when they said something I didn't like, I didn't argue with them. I love them. I've got a doctor. I love him. He just takes care of me. Can I say Ozempic on this? I was taking a 1-point dose of Ozempic. I have diabetes affliction on me. I do pretty good with it. And I said, "Doc," I said, "I've been taking a 1-point dose of Ozempic now for a while, and now it doesn't seem to be working for me. It doesn't seem to be controlling my appetite nor my blood sugar as well. And I said, I think I need a higher dose. And he said, well, I knew he was on Ozempic also. I said, well, doc, how much do you take? How much Ozempic do you take? He's about my age. He said, well, I take 2 milligrams. Is it milligrams, Mel? 2 milligrams of Ozempic. And he said, and I'm giving you 2 also. I said, amen, doc. I'm with you. Well, I feel better. Sugar's more under control. Appetite's out the window. Went to the Dairy Delight today. Got a fish sandwich and an order of fries. And I used to be able to gobble that down. Well, I ate that fish sandwich. I mean, who wouldn't want to eat a fish sandwich? But them fries, I only ate a few of them. And the rest of them, they're in at the house in the refrigerator. I'm going to feed them to the dogs tonight. So praise God. Everybody's happy. Amen? But let me share something with you. This does not mean, this expression in the King James translation does not mean what you think it means. That you might prove, that you might understand what is God's good and perfect. How does it read in there? Your good and acceptable and perfect will. Amen? And what most people think is this. That means that it's talking about where I'm at in God's will in my life. Am I in his good will, his acceptable will, or his perfect will? It doesn't mean that. That's not what it means. And I've read that. I'm going to read it again. I'm going to read Romans 12 again, 1 and 2 in the NLT. So, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he's done for you. See, give your life to God, not so he won't put something bad on you, but because of all the good things he's done for you. That's been my experience. You know, the word says, taste of the Lord and see that he's good. I taste the Lord every day. He's good. He's always good. He never changes. I am the Lord God and I change not. Jesus, in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same. You can count on him. Whatever he said yesterday is still good today. You can build your life on Christ. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. There's that word acceptable. This is truly the way to worship God. Verse 2, listen to this again. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Now listen to this. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. It doesn't mean 3 levels. Well, which one am I in, God? No, that's not what it means. It means what it says right there. Then you will learn to know. You will learn to know. You will understand. It will unfold as you do the word, James chapter 1. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good. God's will for you. Listen, now, I'm just the messenger boy. I just want you to know, for everybody in this room, even if you're not saved, God's will for you is this. God's will for you is good and pleasing and perfect. He wants to give you good. He doesn't want to hurt you. He doesn't want to shorten your life. He wants to let you know how special you are. Boy, if there's anybody in here, I'm one of their fans. It's Brennan Nicole over there. Because see, some years ago, can I tell just a little of this? Some years ago, me and Uncle Sam, we took her to Gateway, right in Fort Smith. She was so strung out. You know, I've been around drugs all my life. Drugs got a hold of me. I became demon-possessed because of drugs when I was a kid. But I've dealt with drug people, and still do all the time. And my little Brenda, our little Brenda, she was so strung out, she had tremors. She was at wit's end. Now, Sam and I took her. We got her and put her into Gateway, and we got just about two blocks down the road, and they called and said, look, she can't be here. You're going to have to get her. She could die. He said, she's got to be medically detoxed. So we took her to Van Buren, right, to the hospital in Van Buren. And how many days were you in there, hon? And when you came out, did you feel better than when you went in? And then you were ready for how long was you in Gateway?
34 days.
How many? 30 days. Now, let me tell you something. We believe in miracles in this church. That's a miracle over there. That's a miracle. That's a miracle right there. Every time somebody's born again, you know what? All of a sudden, when she came out, she began to take and pay attention to her children. And she became a great mom. And she learned, she let me speak into her life a little bit. There was people, men in her life that were unkind and cruel. And I let her know, you don't have to be with people like that. And she believed that. She just separated herself from that. And she began to, and I'm going to tell you something. I don't know a better dad than Mike Holloway. I just don't. I mean, really. Yeah. And he's the dad to several children now. And right now, is it okay to say that about Gary? And they've also taken on Gary and Alea. They're going to go to school there. It's just best for right now. Dwayne has made a good change in his life. He's so busy. He's trying to get some things together. He bought some property, and he's going to move a home on that property. So they've got him for this school year. And I'm telling you, you know Romans 8:28 says? Romans 8:28 says this. And we know, it starts out saying, put it up there in the King James language, Romans 8:28. And we know, see, you won't grow in faith and get your prayers answered by what you think. It's going to be by what you know. Because the devil is a stickler for the details. And when you let him know that part of what you eat, Matthew 4, Luke 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. When he learns that you're eating that Bible food, that's resisting the devil. The word says resist the devil and he'll flee from you. He'll run away from you. Why work on somebody that knows who they are in Christ? We're committed here, as it says right here on this pulpit. I got this pulpit. I ordered it from Canada. It says, discovering God's plan for your life, Romans 8:28. And we know, see, you won't get by on what you think or what you're speculating on or what, well, I wonder, I think. But we know that all things work. Is it up there behind me? We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Okay? His good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And it's not three levels of where you're low. No. It's what God's saying is, if you'll be transformed by the renewing of your mind, you'll be able to understand, and you'll grow, and you'll get it, and you'll find out the plan and purpose. And I've seen people, young people. You can be a good person, go to church, pay your tithes, all kinds of things. But if you're led by your five senses, by what you can see, hear, feel, taste, or smell, you could end up being at the wrong place at the wrong time, and bad things can happen to you. You don't want that. See, a Christian should live different than the way a lost person lives. See, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I say regularly, Father in heaven, I want to be so close to you that I'm in your shadow. And I'm always reminded of a little banny hen. She's got those little chicks all around her, and she keeps them all gathered up. And it doesn't matter how big, if a hippopotamus comes up to a banny hen and acts like she's going to bother her little chicks, she'll jump on that dude. She don't care. How many of you know that's true about little banny hens? They're the best watchdog in the world, man. Amen. All right, now. I'm going to continue on. I'm not in a hurry, but I'm not going to hold us up. Now, let me say this. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 20. We're going to read verses 1 through 17. And this is the only other place we're going in the Word tonight. And I'm going to explain something about God's good, acceptable, and perfect will. One of the great places to find the will of God, starting off in our Bible, is in Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. You know what that is? The Ten Commandments. That is the Ten Commandments. And I'm going to go there right now. If you got your Bible, you did the right thing. I'll tell you what. I don't know how many guns I have, and I don't know how many Bibles I have. I got an innumerable amount of both. More than I need, really. Numbers, chapter 20. And I'm going to read, that's the second. I'm sorry, Exodus. Isn't it Exodus? Let me see here. Yeah, it's Exodus. Chapter 20, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 1. And I want you to read with me. We're going to look at the Ten Commandments. And I want to say something. God bless you, sweetheart. Let me say something about the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are part of, a great part of, an introduction to the will of God for your life. I want you to know that. You know how many commandments there are in the Old Testament? There's 613 commandments in the Old Testament. It's not just the Ten. There's 613 commandments. Some are positive, do this. Some are negative, don't do this. Okay? And they're called the 613, including the Ten Commandments in the Hebrew tongue, is called the mitzvah, the mitzvot, or righteous acts in the Hebrews. That's what that means. There's 613 of them. You know what? I think we get one or two, and we're already in need of a Savior. How many of you understand you were born in need of a Savior? Yeah, you were born needing Jesus as your Savior. So was I. So was everybody, every person. The only one who ever lived a sinless life in this life was who? Jesus, the Christ. Jesus, the Messiah. And I'm telling you, even if you're not saved, even if you did a terrible thing this week, He still loves you. He still would not deny you food, medical attention, housing, transportation. You know, He's not that. That's not how God is. God isn't like that. And anybody that tries to tell you that He's like that, just don't argue with him. Just don't spend a lot of time with him. Let me tell you something else I think is real important. Somebody needs to hear this tonight. Go where you're celebrated and not just tolerated. Hang with people that love you and they're happy when they see you. And the ones that when you come up and you can see them, they're talking to somebody going, and you know they're saying something bad about you. Forget their address. Amen. Go where you're celebrated. Well, I only have a few people like that. Start with those few. Don't let some idiots into your life that they don't think you're something special, because God sure does. This church does. The leadership, my family does. I guarantee you. All right. I'm sharing, and I'm going to start trying to get this out there for you. And I'm going to name the Ten Commandments, and there's 11 or 12, depending on if you're Protestant, Catholicism, and two or three other things. But here's a list of the Ten Commandments that are famous. They're as famous as they are powerful. I am the Lord your God. You shall not have strange gods before me. Now, if you want to roll with Jesus, if you want to roll with God the Father, you can't have something up there like the song that you sing. Anything that I love more than God is an idol. Amen? What's the name of that song? Clear? Clear and safe?
Clear the stage.
I'm not on it. Okay, clear the stage. Okay. I'm the Lord your God. You shall not have strange gods before me. Number two, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. I'm going to tell you, I would not be around people that say GD this and GD that. You know why? Lest you learn their ways and defile your temple like they've defiled that. You can't say stuff like that and have God's best. You have to curb that. Sometimes I have a potty mouth. But I never say that. But I say some bad things, and you know what? I'm trying to get over it. But so are some of you, so don't look at me that way. Let me just put, we all taking communion tonight, amen?
Amen?
Amen. All right. Number three, remember to keep holy the Lord's day. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. All right. Number four, honor your father and your mother. Ephesians chapter 6 says, honor your father and mother, because in so doing, it is the first commandment with a promise that you'll live long in this life. Commandment number 5, thou shalt not kill. Number 6, thou shalt not commit adultery. Number 7, thou shalt not steal. Number 8, thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. Number 9, thou shalt not covet your neighbor's wife. Number 10, thou shalt not covet your neighbor's goods. Okay, and it names them off. Now I'm going to read the Ten Commandments from Exodus chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. If you have your Bibles, and I hope that you do, follow me. If not, you can follow it up there. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto yourself any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Don't make, now some people say, well, that means Christmas trees. You can't have, no, that doesn't mean Christmas trees. Nope. I have never worshipped a Christmas tree, but I know people, many people, they wear amulets and things that have to do with things that are not of Christ, and they're things that are an abomination to Christ, and they flicker that jealousy in God. The word says he's a jealous God. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Verse 6, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Verse 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that take his name in vain. Does everybody know what it means to take the Lord's name in vain? Does anybody have a question? Okay. Verse 8, remember the Sabbath day. I love Kelly's message. I think it was Sunday before last where she said, God wants the first hour of every day of your life. God wants the first day of the week from every one of us. And God wants the first dime out of every dollar that you make. Now that's biblical. All those things are biblical. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Verse 9, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. Verse 10, but the seventh day is the Sabbath day of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days, I'm reading out of verse 11, the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Number 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his donkey. I didn't want to say the A word. Nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And we're going to stop there. That's just an introduction of what what God wants us to do. God wants us, if you want to have a relationship with him, you got to roll with what he wants. You know, I've noticed in the dating world, if it's a guy or a girl, if they really like somebody, they're going to find out what their favorite color is, what their favorite food is, so on and so forth. The favorite song is, I really like Jelly Roll. Y'all like Jelly Roll? He's got a song I've really been listening to. I'm going to try to work it up. It's called From the Valley to the Throne. It's a good song. Great song. I want to see if I can, I think I can sing that song. But I want to take the next few minutes. We're about to take communion, Holy Communion here at Paris Christian Center. And communion at this church is open to anybody in here. If a stranger came in, they were welcome to take it. And on the other hand, nobody here has to take communion if you don't want to. Okay? But I would if I were you. Now, we take communion by doing the following. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, when you take communion, let every person examine himself and see if there's anything that there shouldn't be in their life. And then if there is, see, so we make an altar and we examine ourselves. If there's something that shouldn't be there, we confess it to the Lord. Don't confess it to anybody else. Confess it to the Lord. And he will help us. The word says in 1 John 1 and 9, the letter, if we confess our faults, God is faithful and just to forgive us our faults and to cleanse us from from all unrighteousness. And having done that, we'll start at an altar. If you can't get on your knees, just bend your head down. If you want to get there, anybody that wants to join me at the front,